Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am Foltz.
What's up, Foltz? I'm Steve A.
And welcome to the first episode of Subtle Beast.
Thank you very much.
So how's your day been going?
Well, start off good.
Yeah.
Went to work. That was work. You know, it is what it is.
I hear you.
Then, as soon as I got off, it started getting great.
Nice. Well, because you came right to the studio and ready to record.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to record.
I am too. And I've received a few texts this week, actually, asking, when is the podcast coming out?
Really?
I did. And I gave some apologies because I knew that, you know, we've been having some technical difficulties and it wasn't really anything on our end. But thankfully to Steve at his daytime job, he actually knew a guy who knew how to come in and fix our soundboard because it was a mess.
It was a mess. There was a lot of reverb, a lot of echo.
We had things on that we didn't need on.
Some things off.
That we needed on. So a big shout out to DiBiase.
Yeah, Mike D.
So thank you very much. Without you, we would sound like we're recording this in a wet cave somewhere.
With major echo.
And, yeah, stalactites and stalagmites.
Like in a sports stadium or something.
Exactly. But we got everything under control now, and we're excited to get this ball rolling. We just recently celebrated Thanksgiving, which was amazing on my point.
Mine as well. We had a double.
The double. I couldn't have handled the double.
Double was tough on my belly.
I ate a ton. I got it from the table, made an announcement. I'm going for a nap. I needed one. I wanted to be up in time for the football game at 4:30, Cowboys versus the Redskins. I'm not sure if you all know, but I'm a huge Cowboys fan, with sitting now at an 11-1 record.
Which is nice for you.
It is. I've been waiting 21 years for a record to be like this again. So, So now we're basically staring Christmas in the eye, and I think we got about 3 weeks to go. So, no right. Time like the present to start getting this ball rolling. So, what do you got? What are some of your plans coming up here, Steve?
Well, I know that we originally said we wanted this to drop before winter.
In the fall we wanted to. We said, you know, it'll be late fall, something like that. So,
Technically,
if we can get this on the air to listeners before December 21st, we will not be liars.
Which I think we have a very good chance of doing.
I think so, too. I'm not too worried about it. But, so we just got to get this rolling. And what better time than during the stressful hustle and bustle of Christmas to make sure that you have a great recording and great topics to try and send out to the public to listen to.
Right. And I'm sure that our listeners are going to have a trip lined up with their family, and they're going to have an hour. They're going to need to listen to something, and, you know, maybe they forgot their Smashing Pumpkins CD.
Good point. Very good point. And, you know, when we sent out the Facebook requests for our new podcast, Subtle Beast, we pretty much sent it out to people that we know. So I'm thinking for listeners that might have just stumbled upon this as a brand new podcast, wanting to give it a listen, maybe we should give a little background of ourselves, how we met, why we're doing this right now.
That's a good idea. Let's hear a little bit about you.
Well, my story is I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I've been a stay-at-home dad for about 13 going on 14 years now.
Yes.
It has, it's been challenging to say the least, but I'm loving it because my other option was to, sit in a cubicle and take angry phone calls all day. Yeah, exactly. So when, my wonderful wife said to me on the phone one day while I was at work, well, why don't you just quit and stay home with the kids? Because we had our two boys at the time, but they were babies, and they're only 20 months apart. I don't even think we said goodbye on the phone. I was in my supervisor's office, and I was resigning to do so.
In my mind, I'm seeing the Wile E. Coyote.
Oh, yeah, the Tasmanian devil.
Right. Smoke behind you.
Yep. So did that. Stayed home here in Pennsylvania for about a year. We packed up our stuff. We moved to Hawaii. We moved to Myrtle Beach. We were moving all around the place, all around the globe, just to come right back down here to, or come back up here, I should say, to Harrisburg. And we've been here ever since. And Steve and I stayed friends through that whole thing. And well, and we've been friends since we've been about 5 years old. But before we get into that, let's Steve, give us a little bit of what you have been going with your life.
Yes. Well, first of all, my name is Steve Apostolopoulos. And I tell people when they meet me and they're confused or taken back by my last name, it's like a bowl of pasta. If you can say that, then you've got my name. It's Apostolopoulos. So my name is Greek. That's my heritage. I've been back to the motherland. When my grandfather,
I remember that fifth grade.
Yep. When my grandfather was sick with ALS, we went back to Greece, and I was able to tour the countryside and find out how beautiful that area is. So I'm very grateful for that. I have a beautiful wife named Sheena.
Very nice lady.
A son, thank you, named Trajan. A son named Jalen. And a son named Jackson. 14, 11, and 2 years old. So that's pretty much what I do with my time. When I'm not podcasting or working, I'm spending my time with my family.
Fantastic. There's nothing better than that. And Steve, I think, just showed me up a little bit and made me feel a little embarrassed for my family. I have a beautiful wife, Jen. I have two boys, 16, Derek, 15, Zachary. I have a daughter, Madison, who's 9, and I have a daughter, Giada, who is 8. So they have been my main focus as a stay-at-home dad for the past 13 years. And like I said earlier, I couldn't be happier. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing, especially when we were living in Hawaii, because it was such a hardship. My boys weren't in school yet, so somebody had to take them to the beach every day.
Oh, that is tough.
It was tough. We made do. The only thing I felt bad for was my wife, because she had a normal work week, and then on Saturdays she wanted to go to the beach, and we didn't want to anymore. But
we're beached out by that time.
Yeah, so it was either we didn't want to go to the beach or it rained on the weekends. So, but we made do.
That sounds fantastic. I when you were there, I remember hearing the stories of going to the hotels and the pools that were around your area in the hotels.
Oh, yeah. Right up the street, we had a 5-star hotel that a buddy of mine that I met there, he introduced me to. He's like, we're just going to take the bus, then we're going to walk up and just pretend like we stay at this hotel. We'd walk through the lobby in our bathing suits, and we'd go out to this pool. And I didn't realize how exclusive this hotel was until the one day it was just me and my buddy and my boys in the pool. That was it. And then my friend said, look over my right shoulder, and just enjoying himself in the deep end was Adam Sandler.
Yes.
I immediately was like, oh my God. But I didn't want to be one of those people that just was like, oh my God, Adam Sandler. So I kind of left him alone, and we just kept doing our own thing. And one of the cool things was, is he actually came up to us and commented on the boys swimming. He was like, wow. He's like, who taught these boys how to swim? Of course, that was my cue. I said me, and we chatted for a few minutes, and he got out of the pool, and he had someone there waiting with a towel for him, which was cool. But the great part of the story was the very next day we were going to do the same thing, and Adam Sandler was in Hawaii because he was there to be in some golf outing where a pro and a celebrity team up to golf together. Well, we were walking up to the hotel. He was walking down to where the golf outing was. We didn't see him, and he yells across to us, hey, guys, remember me from yesterday?
No, yeah. I remember you from the 100 movies I've seen you
exactly.
in.
Exactly. We just kind of waved and said, how you doing, and kept going. And I must have had this look on my face, because my buddy turned to me and he was like, you want to follow him, don't you? And I was like, yes, I do. Let's just keep going. We're not going to be those people.
That's fantastic. What a great story. I love that.
Yeah. So it was definitely an experience. One of those good things to have on your life's resume, to live on an island for a year where with no cold weather. I loved calling home and finding out it was snowing and I was headed off to the beach.
That's got to make you feel a certain way. Like, oh, yes, snow back in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
It's 82 here.
Yep. We, matter of fact, for Christmas that year, my boys got like all stuff to play with the beach. So after they opened their gifts on Christmas morning, we took all those gifts and we celebrated the rest of Christmas on the beach.
Oh, man, that sounds great.
It was. So I can't complain. But so let's take them back a little bit. Let's tell our listeners how we met and how long we've actually been friends. And
oh, my goodness. That's way back.
We're going way back. So I'll let Steve tell his story, and then I'll tell my version of my longest memories of our friendship.
Yeah, I can remember the very day that I met you. It was in T-ball, and I remember running from first base to second base, and I remember you standing there, and I remember your face. And I don't even know if I touched the bag. I just kind of remember stopping there and looking at you like, what is different about this person than the rest of the people? I don't know what's going on, but I feel like this guy's special.
I was putting off the vibe.
You must have been putting off a vibe or something that was going on, because I remember the very minute the first time I saw you.
That's awesome. And, yeah, so, and my memory is, I'm sorry, Steve, go ahead.
Black team. You were on the black team.
I was on the orange team, actually.
I was on the green team.
So orange and green, yep.
Or maybe the yellow team, I don't even know.
I've been around places where I've heard Steve tell this story before, and for some reason, this black team is just haunting his memory. I don't know if these guys took it to their team or something, or...
Maybe I was on the black team, I don't know.
Maybe. Shout outs to the black team.
I tried to get that information, and my mother said, I have no idea. I'd have to look through your pictures to find out what team you were on. Why don't you know?
Well, that's funny, because that actually makes me think of something. Because whenever you tell that story and the black team pops into your mind, it makes me think of, have you ever heard of something called the Mandela effect?
No, I know I've heard of Mandela.
Yeah, Nelson Mandela. That's where the name of this effect comes from.
Okay.
So basically, and I'll tie back into why that story reminded me of it, but the Mandela effect is basically when Nelson Mandela was in prison, he was in prison with a lot of other prisoners, and I'm sure they interacted day to day, blah, 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 socializing, whatever. But these particular prisoners that he was with, they don't ever recall him being freed and ever becoming the great leader that he was. If you would ever talk to one of them, if they're still living, or if you read about their bios, they swear that Nelson Mandela died in prison. And that was many accounts. It wasn't just one person. It was several prisoners that were shocked to find out that he was still alive.
He died in a joint.
He died in the joint to them. So that's kind of how that T-ball story brings me to the Mandela effect, because is it misremembering, or are they right and it's just this parallel universe that they are shifting in and out of? And to them and their memory, I mean, you could probably hook them up to a lie detector test and everything will pass, because to them, that's what happened. And there's so many other things that if you take the time and go out into the internet and just simply Google the Mandela effect, I mean, you can come across, and it's an extremely, extremely exciting and fun topic to look over.
I just looked up Nelson Mandela here, and here's an interesting fact.
Okay.
Today's date, December 5th.
Okay.
Nelson Mandela died on December 5th.
No way. So today
is the anniversary of Nelson Mandela's death.
Wow.
Yep. 2013.
How crazy is that? That 3 years to the day, here we are doing our first podcast. A story about T-ball comes up, triggers me to think Mandela effect. And here's the actual date of his death 3 years prior. That's crazy.
It's the anniversary, yeah.
So you know that you know about Nelson Mandela, so but you don't have a whole lot of information on what the Mandela effect is or was further than what I've explained.
Correct. I can get the gist of it. The other people in the prison remember him dying, but obviously
that didn't take place.
Right.
Well, here's a couple of mind blowers I'm going to try and throw at you just off the top of my head.
Okay.
One that just grabbed me and basically floored me when I saw it. I was just searching around. I believe I was on Facebook, and I saw something that said Berenstain versus Berenstein.
Berenstein would be the books that we had when we were kids.
Yeah, Berenstain Bears, right. And that's what it got at. So I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, what are they talking about here? Because it was on one of these pages of, like, scientific things, some, like, weird page that I'm into. So I clicked on it, and the very first question was, as a kid reading the Berenstain Bears, what do you recall their name being? So to me, it was always Berenstain with S-T-E-I-N on the end.
Right.
Well, technically, and it always has been Berenstain, S-T-A-I-N.
What?
Yeah, that was the initial reaction I had too. So before I even went any further, I was sitting on the couch and I turned to my wife and I was like, if you were to spell Berenstain Bears, like the book, how would you spell their last name? And she spelled it out, Berenstein. And I was like, yeah, that's what I remember too. I was like, but I guess it never was that. It's actually Berenstain. Well, the look on her face was just priceless because she didn't believe me. So she grabs my phone, starts looking at it, and then now she starts getting into it. I couldn't believe it, but so then I started to Google some things, and I just put in Berenstain Bears. I was like, this has to be a mistake. So I'm searching everywhere, and there's nowhere that it's ever been Berenstain. They've even went as far as to ask the kids of the creators, what is your last name? And they say it's always been Berenstain.
That's wrong.
It's definitely wrong, especially from our perspective. So it begs to question, because I haven't only just discussed it with you and my wife. It begs the question, is everybody misremembering this? Which, how could almost an entire population? And what we should do after our listeners hear this, if you find this topic interesting, and I think we're going to keep going on with this a little bit longer, but I just want to throw this out there. If you find this topic interesting, go on to our Facebook page and just let us know what you remember as far as the Berenstain Bears versus the Berenstain Bears. And if we get enough interest and enough replies, we'll revisit this in another episode. But
you got to give me one more.
Oh, I can give you quite a few more. So we'll jump ahead a little bit, like maybe a week or two after I had this Berenstain episode on Facebook, and between my wife and asking several different people, we had Trick or Treat come upon us.
So, oh, that was great for me.
Oh, it was a good fun for me. So did your son enjoy his first Trick or Treat?
Oh, he hated it, but I loved it. I was expecting it to be completely opposite. I was expecting myself to hate it and for him to love it. He was Superman.
Oh, awesome. That's perfect for him.
Yes, but it was when I got home, I could see him and I could tell just by picking him up, he kind of made a little crying noise.
He wasn't having it.
And I was like, oh, buddy, I'm supposed to be taking you miles away from here.
Yeah.
And you're crying on our own front porch. So I know that we made it about two blocks.
Yeah, well, that's not bad. I mean, what is he, 3 years old?
He's, yep, two, a little over two. And this is his second time that we've done it. He got like a lollipop, and that kind of calmed him down a little bit. But that also got his hands all wet.
Sticky.
And I didn't want him to reach into other people's baskets at that point and pull more stuff out.
So now it's an ordeal.
Right, right. But he did get a decent amount of candy.
Good. And he was getting the concept that after this house, we're going to go to this next house and get some candy?
He says thank you to my wife and I for everything. You say God bless you to the kid, and he says thank you. We couldn't get a thank you out of him for these people or strangers giving him candy, and he's not thanking them at all. We practiced the trick-or-treat the night before. We literally went down our hallway and knocked on the bedroom doors going through the hallway and did pretend trick-or-treat so that he could grasp the concept of trick-or-treat for real. And it just was stage fright, just blanked out.
Oh, even in the dress rehearsal, he was just like not
dress having. Rehearsal, he was saying it. He was saying, he says trick-or-treat. It doesn't sound like you or I saying it.
Right.
But it still was being said. And then we were putting like matchbox cars in his same bucket the night before. And then we were prompting him to say thank you.
And everything was going good. And then
he hit a wall, and we were at the furthest point away. So we live on the square. There was a fire truck in the square, and then there was another fire truck on the other side of the square, but down a ways. And, you know, I get past the first one. I'm going towards the second one, and I don't know if it was a goal or but if I was just looking at it, but I'm thinking we're going to get to this second fire truck.
Right.
And Sheena says, he's done. Right. And I was like, we're far away. We got to cross the street and at least do the houses on the way home.
So trick-or-treat was more about mommy and daddy's experiences then.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was just going and getting the Superman outfit, it just spanked of my childhood.
Oh, yeah. It's all about getting the pictures, and then we'll talk to you about this, and you always remember, we'll always remember your first trick-or-treat.
Yeah, someday you'll see a picture with the Superman suit on, and you'll know that you went trick-or-treating when you were two.
Yeah, exactly.
But it really did not offer him much fun. But he did enjoy eating the candy.
Well, he succeeded with his first, and next year he'll be even more involved, and before you know it, you guys will be the ones crying, being like, it's time to go, and he's not going to have anything to do with it.
I hope so.
But so getting back to one more example, and I brought up trick-or-treat because took my kids trick-or-treating. My kids are at a good age. They, you know, they have a lot of stamina. They were doing it. I mean, we were out the entire 2 hours. Came home, and my daughters always have this tradition that when we get into the family room, they want me to take the backpack that I'm holding all the candy in now, because they dump their buckets as they get full and dump them on their heads.
So good tradition.
Yeah, it is. And we video it, and it's always a good amount of fun. But I'm a little OCD, so after the candy's dropped down, I'm like, all right, time to clean it up. And I separate all the candy by name, brand, everything, and I put them in separate Ziploc bags, because in my crazy mind, no candy can touch or mix flavors or anything.
Yeah, that sounds perfectly logical.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you get to the sweet tarts and you put a Reese's peanut butter cup in there, 3 weeks from now, you take a bite into that,
it's going to taste like a Reese's
sweet tart. Yeah. So I get around to organizing the Kit Kats. And I took a bite of the first wafer, and I'm just sitting there in my own thoughts thinking this is delicious. And I look down at the wrapper, and I see the words Kit Kat. Now, if I was to ask you if you could visualize the Kit Kat logo in your mind, would you say that it has a hyphen in it separating the words kit and cat, or it's just kit space cat?
Hyphen. I would say it's K-I-T hyphen K-A-T.
That's exactly my word. That's exactly my thoughts and the way that I always thought it was, and that's how I thought that it should be. So when I saw it, I thought it was a mistake. So I gathered up the other 50 to 70 Kit Kats.
That sounds delicious.
And I think we're down to our last, like, Hershey's miniatures. But they all are just Kit space Kat. So I thought, wow, they changed the logo. So I pulled out my phone to see when the logo was changed. And the logo has never been changed. There has never been a hyphen.
What?
Never been a hyphen. So what's really interesting is when I just asked you now, you recall or see in your mind's eye a hyphen separating
clearly.
The kit. Well,
there is clearly a hyphen.
Once again, I took this same information to my wife and asked her, and she agreed. Hyphen.
Hyphen.
No hyphen.
No hyphen.
No hyphen ever. And it wasn't a change.
Wasn't a cover up?
Nothing. It's like how it never was. So there's another thing for the listeners. If you're going out and you're giving us your information on Berenstain, give us on your Kit Kat. I have a few more that we'll discuss too. But as we're going along, I'll just note that you should let us know what your thoughts or what your memories are. So let's see about getting into one of the next steps in this Mandela effect. So one of the next points that I want to get into, since it is the Mandela effect, and I always think, okay, South Africa,
right?
So one of them that I came across when I was actually researching the Mandela effect in full, and I came across a map of the world, and the first sentence was, look at the continent of South America. Does it look like what you remember when you were in elementary school?
Which is pretty much, in my mind, I'm thinking America. Like North America, I would say.
Right.
United States, North America, the skinny little piece of land where, like, we did the Panama Canal, Central America.
Right.
And then directly underneath that would be South America.
Right. Like, so you could take a straight shot. Like, you could drive it.
The coast of Peru or whatever, the west coast of
Chile.
South America. Okay, Chile would be kind of level with, like, the Baja.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, how I would remember it, and that's exactly how I would describe it. But the map they're showing, I was like, well, what are they doing here? What's their point with this? Because on this particular map, South America was a lot farther east. It wasn't directly lined up with North America, Central America. It was so far east, and in the map they were showing, it was like a circular map almost representing a globe, and it looked like it was like really close to Africa. And I was like, I don't remember South America being that far east.
I don't remember that. I remember. So then if you were to go straight down from California, you'd be
in the ocean.
In the Pacific.
Right. And obviously, from the description you just gave and what my memory is, we're not the only ones, because there was a bunch of people on this thread discussing it. And this one girl was even giving facts from when she was a kid. She was like, I used to fly from, I don't know what country in South America, but to Washington, D.C. When I was a kid, it took X amount of hours, and it took X amount of hours coming back. And we always flew at the same times. And I don't know. The time of day when she would arrive, there'd always be sunlight, this, that, and the other thing. It wasn't daylight savings. And now she says when she does the trip, it's like 3 hours shorter.
What?
Yep. And it's nighttime. And like I said, it doesn't have anything to do with daylight savings. And a lot of people are thinking that, I don't know, something has been changed. Something's been shifted. Are we going in and out of a parallel universe, or are we just misremembering? But, I mean, there's a conglomerate of people that can just remember South America being lined up with North America and Central America. So, again, give us your thoughts on what you think, because I you know, I've gone as far as to, well, maybe the maps change. Maybe scientists have figured out, well, you know, all those other maps were wrong. No, once again, that's how it always was, always will be, and nothing's going to change. So that's really interesting. Now, I'm going to switch gears from, like, the maps and things like that. I'm going to go to some things that people might be a little bit more familiar with, such as something that I'm an extreme nerd and geek over is Star Wars.
Ooh.
Now, in Star Wars, there's actually, well, two that pop to mind within the Mandela effect. One being C-3PO. Steve, describe C-3PO to me.
C-3PO would be a gold humanoid robot with a unique voice.
Right. Perfect. Well.
Gold eyes.
Yes. Well, this is what they're trying to pass off on us now as C-3PO. And I'm not talking about from the remasters where they put him back out into the theater, or the new Star Wars that was out last December and the one that's coming out now, the Rogue One. They're trying to say that C-3PO has always been gold, except for, I believe it's his right leg, which has always been silver.
What?
Yes, they are actually trying to cram that down, and I'm not buying that for a second.
I'm not buying that for a second either.
Because, and so I looked it up. I looked up C-3PO, and there were a ton of pictures, and they're showing him with this silver leg. But I had this Return of the Jedi book from when I was a kid, and there were some pictures in there, which it appeared to me that he was all gold, and I didn't see a silver leg. And there in Universal Studios in Florida, this one guy was posting, I was just there, and they have the Star Wars attraction, and C-3PO was all gold. He didn't have the silver leg. Well, then some people were trying to come on and say, well, it was probably just the artists. They messed up on the wax figure or whatever. And then somebody came back and said, do you really think that when the executives came through, if his leg was always silver, that they wouldn't have called him out on that?
Right.
So, but the research, you guys can do it for yourselves. They're trying to tell us that C-3PO has always and will always have a silver leg, and I'm not buying that. Now, as crazy as that might sound, we'll go to Empire Strikes Back during the famous Luke and Vader lightsaber scene after Vader cuts off Luke's hand.
Right.
And everyone knows what's coming there, the big reveal. Can you say it?
Luke, I am your father.
Correct. Everyone, and including the voice of, what's the guy's name who did Darth Vader?
He does the Arby's commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Can't think of his name right now offhand, but saw an interview with him, and he was talking about the days back filming the early Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, and he said, yeah, my favorite line that I always remember is, Luke, I am your father.
Right.
Well, get ready to buy a bridge in the desert, because they're saying it was never and will never be, Luke, I am your father. They're saying it's always been, no, I am your father.
What?
No, Luke, I am your father. They're saying it's, no, I am your father. And, of course, I grabbed my DVD set and put it in, queued it up in that part. And now he's saying, no, I am your father. Not Luke. Everybody knows. as you're a kid in the summertime in your room with the fan on, everyone, Luke, I am your father.
Right.
Tommy Boy, he was doing it when the people were walking into the office. He was saying it into his fan, Luke, I am your father.
What could this happen? How? What is going on?
I don't know. I'm starting to believe that the universe that I grew up in and was so fond of for so long that I am not part of anymore, that I have shifted. And you obviously have come along for the ride with a lot of other people. We've shifted into a alternate universe. And James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones said, Luke, I am your father.
Yep, I pulled up a video on YouTube where he was being interviewed, like right after the movies were made, and he was talking about the infamous Luke, I am your father, being one of his favorite lines. And now, nowhere does it exist. Such classic movies are baffling people's minds because of Silver Legs and No More Luke. And I love the movie Forrest Gump. And what was the great information, the key line that...
Oh, the way he's sitting on the bench.
Right, that his mother always said...
Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Wrong.
How can that be wrong?
Well,
it seems as if you're debunking my entire fabric right now.
Well, if we were sitting around and we were playing a game of movie lines, my answer would have been right prior to this new effect that is now blowing my mind. But technically, it always has been, always will be. Life was like a box of chocolates.
What? That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. I don't know. I'm pretty much speechless at this point. When I heard that one, after already been blown away by Berenstain, Kit Kat, South America, and Luke, life is like a box of chocolates. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not life was. What is he? What are you, dead?
Right. It's already was.
So, yeah. So that's pretty much where we're at with.
So what do you? It's got to be.
It's, well, I don't think that we're wrong, and I don't think that, and this is why it's crucial for our listeners to please just take a minute to go to our Facebook page and let us know what. I'll give you a quick recap of some of the things we've been talking about. We've gone from Berenstain Bears, which is actually Berenstain Bears. We've talked about Kit Kats with no hyphens anymore. We've discussed the location of South America and it being a lot farther east than what we recall. We've discussed C-3PO with his new silver leg, or should I say his old silver leg, because it's always been that way. We've discussed, no, I am your father.
That one kills me.
Yeah, no. I'm never going to talk into a fan and say no.
No.
So we have no, I am your father versus what we all recall, Luke, I am your father. And then we have the infamous, life is like a box of chocolates, which isn't. It's according to the powers that be now, life was like a box of chocolates. And it's just, you gotta go out and you gotta research the Mandela effect, because there's tons of examples that just blow your mind. I mean, we could sit around going on about this for hours upon hours. I'm just going to throw one more at you because this one's crazy too. Let me ask you, you know the comedian Sinbad?
I do.
Well, Sinbad, he not only was a stand-up comic, but he made movies back in like the early late 90s. Do you recall ever seeing any of his movies?
I can recall him being in movies.
Right. Well, I can recall him being in movies, and I'll tell you, I remember Sinbad doing a Genie movie, and I was talking to a buddy of mine not too long ago about this, and he remembered, because we saw it together, And he said, oh, yeah, he said that genie movie, I think it was called Shazam. And
that sounds very familiar.
And here's a lot of people's rebuttal when you say that, because they're going to say, well, Shaq did a movie. But Shaq's movie was called Kazam. But I can remember the posters for this Sinbad movie.
I'm seeing Sinbad in my mind right now dressed up as a genie.
Right, yeah. And so many people have. And I actually was so disturbed by this that I went out to YouTube and I actually typed it in. And there's this guy who's so convinced as well that he's seen it. He went around New York City with Sinbad's picture, showing his photo, asking if they knew who he was, asking, have you ever seen any of his movies? And about 9 out of 10 people said, oh, he did that genie movie.
Oh, my gosh.
So why would people, I mean, there's no similarities between Sinbad and Shaq to make them think that, oh, Sinbad did this movie. Well, people have actually asked Sinbad, what about your genie movie? Never done one. Doesn't exist. Well, at least not in this universe.
He's got to get it all the time. He's got to hear that question all the time.
One of the ladies that was asked in the interview actually even commented on the name of the movie. She said, yeah, I can remember the poster, and she described the way he was dressed and what pose he was in. And the guy that set out to do this project was like, exactly, thank you. That's exactly how I pictured it and how I viewed it. And ladies and gentlemen, it never existed. So please, we urge you to go out and give us your thoughts. Steve, why don't you give them the Facebook information? And
right, come find us on Facebook. We're at Subtle Beast. That is the name of our podcast. You can see our graphics and a few of the shots of our studio where Matt and I spend our time.
Look for a green dinosaur with a backpack on. That'll be the picture on the Facebook page. And if for some unknown reason there's more Subtle Beast pages out there.
Also, if you could share our podcast with your friends, that will help us grow our base and get out to more people. And I hope that everyone has enjoyed their time with us. I know that I've enjoyed my time.
I have too, and I'm really looking forward to putting many more episodes out there, and looking forward to connecting with you guys, and hopefully maybe we can even have some of you in our studio sometime to help us out with our new gig. So with that said, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
And we'll see you next time on Subtle Beast.
Later.